I want to talk this morning about the peace of God. This is our promised land for the believer. I know we often look at heaven as being the promised land that we're going to someday. True. But here and now, there is a promised land for the believer. In Hebrews, it's kind of described as the rest. We enter into the rest of God. And so I want to talk about this promised land. You know, Moses delivered the Israelites from Egypt, but there was more than just being delivered from slavery. They were delivered out of slavery so that God could take his people to the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Of course, there's a problem because there were other nations living in the promised land, the Canaanites. And the Canaanites were, there were seven strong nations that had been there a long time. And for the people of God to possess the promised land, they first had to drive out the Canaanites. Well, you and I, we have our own form of Canaanites. I call them the Carnalites. And they're the Angerites, the Depressionites, the Meanites, the Spiteites, the Impatiites, you know, the Irritites. You know, they are things that if you are going to enjoy the full promises of the peace of Christ in your life and enjoy the spiritual riches that God has given us in Christ, those ites are going to have to be dealt with. So I'm not going to talk about the way those are dealt with today. I want to talk about the promise that's there. The promised land for the believer is this peace of Christ. Peace is so important. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Proverbs 17:1. Better is a dry morsel with peace than a house full of feasting with strife. What would you rather have? A lot of money and a lot of constant battles and arguing and fighting? Or would you rather be poor and happy, loving one another and enjoying peace? No fighting. You look forward to coming home. Home is a refuge. You, your wife, and your children have a place to come home to that is like relief from the difficulty of the world. That's the kind of peace we're talking about. Proverbs 14:30, a heart at peace is life to the body. But envy, and envy is just a description of passion. Passion is rottenness to the bones. Okay. We can medicate envy away. You can medicate yourself to a point where you feel something that's similar to peace. But you know what that is? That's numbness. The world tries to numb the pain it endures. The peace of Christ treats the symptom with a healing. And when your heart is at peace, it is actually healthy for your body. It's not, that doesn't mean if you're dealing with medical issues that, okay, you don't have peace, because we do have these things called genes, and some of us got some good genes, and some of us got on the, we're on the poor side of that, and some of us have had injuries we're dealing with. But we do know this, that if stress is not the cause of what you're dealing with, will it help you deal with it? Stress will definitely do one thing. It will make whatever you're dealing with worse. And the doctors say a major cause of many of the common illnesses that people in our Western society are dealing with are caused by stress, a lack of peace. So we, as a believer, we need to experience this peace. Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 48, read with me. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord, your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Oh, that you had heeded my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river. Not like a stream bed that kind of dries up. You know, every little stream will run for a little bit when it rains, but a river flows continually. There's always water there. We don't want this intermittent peace that if God gives us a little rain and we can experience a little bit of peace. We want something that's steady, dependable, and reliable. But it says for the wicked, but there is no peace for the wicked. And the word wicked here in the Greek, in the Septuagint, is ungodly. That's for a person who refuses to fall back. We're not talking about someone who's trying to serve God and has made a mistake. We're talking about the person who says, I'm going to live the way I want to. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what Christians say. I'm going to be my own person. I'm going to do it my way. That's the word that describes this wickedness. A person who refuses to fall back. You know, back in the day when kings would walk down an aisle, you showed that you were no threat to the king by falling back. That's the idea. So the wicked here is a person who refuses to acknowledge God. He's stubborn and defiant. For that person, there's no peace. Isaiah 57 says, "For thus says the Lord, high and the lofty one, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and with him who is contrite and humble, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite. For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry, for the spirit would fail before me, and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness, I was angry and struck him." This is the Lord saying, I dealt with a man because of his condition, and I hid and was angry. And the man, he went on backsliding in the way of his heart. And I have seen his ways, and I will heal him. And I will also lead him and restore comforts to him and to his mourners. And I create the fruit of the lips. And notice what the Lord creates on the lips of a person that he's healed. What does he create? Someone with the ability to know and say peace. Peace, peace to him who is far off, and to peace to him who is near, says the Lord. And I will heal him. But the wicked, he goes on to say in verse 20, but the wicked, next slide please. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. There's that word again. For that person who refuses to fall back, they're not going to experience this peace. But for the humble man and the contrite man, the man that God is angry with for a while, but the man has humbled himself and admitted his wrong, God says, I will heal that man. I will heal his wrong ways, and I will bless him with a fruit. The fruit I'll bless him with is I'll bless him with peace. Do you realize that Paul said that Paul was quoting this passage in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17. Jesus is the one who came and preached peace, peace to those who are far off and peace to those who are near. Paul understood Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of this prophecy of Isaiah. And Jesus told his disciples there in John chapter 15 when he was with them in the Last Supper, the instructions he gave about abiding in him and he in them, how important it was to remain in a vital, intimate relationship with him. He said, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Okay, that's going to be happening. But in him you have peace. And you know what reminds me that why in him we can have peace? Do you remember what the very next chapter from the same prophet? Peggy, you read from Isaiah chapter 6. The very next chapter, Isaiah chapter 7 says, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of peace. Wow. And of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. So when the prince takes the throne, when the Son of God takes the throne, what's the result of his rule in a person's life? peace. His government, when he takes over our life, he brings us into his peace. And we can enjoy this spiritual promised land. Isaiah, in chapter 32, he put it this way. Then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness will remain in the fruitful field. And follow me carefully. The work of righteousness will be peace. So in order for us to experience the peace of God, we must be brought into the righteousness of God.
Amen.
Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to experience peace without the work of righteousness in our life. The work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. In the Septuagint for the word assurance, it says quietness and rest. And what we're talking about, this quietness and rest, we're talking about it an internal state of calm that is enabled by God to be secure even when all the things around us are all out of sort and haywire. This is what we need to learn to experience. You and I cannot predict or control the external things we will deal with. You can't predict what kind of boss you're going to have or what kind of co-workers you're going to have. You can't always determine how your spouse is going to be one day or how your children will be one day or your grandchildren. You can't determine those things. But there is a peace from God that is deep within in man's innermost being that can keep you calm, cool, and collected. Where you don't act out, erupt, stick your foot in your mouth, panic, all those things. Listen to what the scripture goes on in Isaiah, verse 18. My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwelling places, in quiet resting places. And notice, didn't that remind you of the Psalms? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down. That's rest, right? In green pastures. He leadeth me beside, not raging waters, still waters. He restores my soul. And notice here that my people will live in peaceful habitation, in secure dwelling places, in quiet resting places, though the hail comes down on the forest and the city is brought low in humiliation. So right now, even with President Trump in the White House, I can be totally at peace. I don't need the Democrats and the Republicans to get along. They can fight over whatever they want to fight about, and they can battle each other. They can protest, and they can throw bricks through the window. They can do whatever they want to do. It doesn't need to affect me. I mean, all around you can be going crazy, and you can experience the peace and calm of Christ. We need to learn that. That's something we need to learn. That's why Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you. Next slide, if you will. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Okay? In Christ, this kind of peace is possible. And he says, in this world, you will have tribulation. The Greek word for tribulation is thlipsis. And it means you'll be squeezed. Hey, you're going to get squeezed. You're going to get squeezed at your job. You're going to get squeezed in your home. You're going to get squeezed in your neighborhood. Life is going to squeeze you. The liberal world out there, people have their ideas of what they think is right. They're going to press their opinions on you. And you know what you can have? In Christ, you can have his peace even when you're being squeezed. Wouldn't it be nice? I heard a pastor give this illustration one time. Here's a tube of toothpaste. I want you to imagine a tube of toothpaste, and it has Crest. I'll just pick a brand, Crest. Said Crest, if I take the lid off that piece of toothpaste and I squeeze it gently, what's going to come out? Toothpaste. But what if I decide to hit it real hard? What's going to come out? What if I cut it with a knife? What's going to come out? You know, what's going to come out is whatever it's been filled with. Don't start pointing the fingers. No one made you mad. Anger was inside you. And it came out of you. Because it was there. If you're filled with the Spirit and they squeeze you gently, what's going to come out? The Spirit. And if they slam you and you're filled with the Spirit, what's going to come out? You see? If we are filled with the peace of Christ, regardless of how we're squeezed, it is the peace of Christ that comes out. That's the kind of life we want to experience. It doesn't mean we won't suffer. It doesn't mean we won't feel weak. Still, even in our suffering, even in our response, there's going to be a peace there, a controlled, calm, collected, guided peace. Let me show what it's like. I have a picture for you. Spiritual peace is internal. Y'all know what this is? Some people call it a root cellar. It's also a storm cellar. You see a lot of these up in the Tornado Alley, up in Oklahoma and the Panhandle and places. They're places to where when the storm clouds come and you can tell it's a tornado's on the way, you don't stand out there and try to fight the tornado. You get your family together and you get down in the shelter and you close the door and you wait for the tornado to pass. And you're sheltered. So the peace that I'm talking about is a spiritual peace deep within that you withdraw to when there's a tornado in your mind, when your emotions are blowing wild, when your mouth wants to run off because you are so irate, there is a place you can retreat in your inner man till the storm passes. To safety. The scripture says it this way, Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication or petition, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The reason it surpasses understanding, because usually the things that have us all worked up are the things that don't make sense. That wasn't fair. That's not right. And you're all worked up and you're tempted to have these imaginary conversations. Have you had those? You talk to yourself or that other person in your mind and you're just telling them off, aren't you? I mean, it just, and of course you're Perry Mason. You're just tearing them apart. You know, your wisdom is so dynamic, you know, that you just imagine. It's a vain imagination in what it is. It's a storm. You're under spiritual attack. Your soul is the atmosphere is supercharged. Let me caution you something. When the atmosphere, when your internal atmosphere of your soul, your mind and emotions, when they're supercharged, it's not safe to speak. You know, when an atmosphere is supercharged, what happens? Light, arcs. Literally, electricity arcs between the ground and the clouds. And it comes so suddenly, and you can't tell where it's going, and it may strike here and kill someone 2 miles away. It's not safe to try to speak. If you're agitated so much on the inside, you need to be able to find that inner shelter that to guard. A lot of times we think that the peace of Christ guarding our hearts and mind, it keeps something from getting into our hearts and minds. Well, that's true. But when we need it the most is when we're under attack and it has already slipped in. And those thoughts and emotions are running wild. And you're in danger of saying what you're thinking. That's when you need the peace of Christ to come. Like a set of reins and say, whoa. Because sometimes our emotions is like a wild horse that just drags us down. We say things and we do things that we just like, that surprises us. Like we so regret. That's why we need this peace of Christ. And where does it guard us from? How can you actually experience something and not give in to that kind of storm that's going off on the inside? That's how. From deep within, the peace of Christ and the Holy Spirit will be saying, don't go there. Don't say anything. Be still. Deep from within, there will be a voice on the inside that's not in your head. That it's quieter. There's this song. Thank you, Lord, for the trials that come my way that help me to grow each day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings those trials bring, the lessons in growing in dependence upon you. But it goes against the way I feel to put my human emotions down and let your Spirit take control of all that I do. For when the trials come, my human nature shouts the thing to do. And God's soft promptings are so easily ignored. But here's what the scripture says. No temptation, no storm, no matter how wild the thoughts are and the emotions are, no temptation is taken you but such as common to man. And the Lord is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted beyond what you're able to endure. But what will he provide? A way of escape. The Holy Spirit, in the midst of the storm, will give you guidance from your inner man on how to escape giving in to that storm that's going on in your mind and your emotions. We're human. You're going to have the storm. They're going to come just like they do. Just like they do now. But you know, it's interesting. Internally, when you learn to walk in the Spirit, you've kind of got this radar. You can kind of see them coming. I think I felt a little irritation there. That hurt. You start feeling bothered by something. And you can pick it up early. You can see it coming. And you have more time. As you learn to be led by the Spirit into this peace, you can learn to overcome these storms. Because you know what happens? You know what? Wind is wonderful, right? But not violent wind. We cherish a good breeze on these humid and hot days. We cherish the breeze. Boy, but when the wind gets too fast, it can take a common, ordinary object and turn it into a deadly weapon. Man, when our emotions are racing and our thoughts are racing, man, we turn words into weapons. And man, we can drive them right through someone. And it may not even be the person we were aiming at. It may just be a casualty. See, emotional disturbances are like atmospheric disturbances. The atmosphere gets supercharged. That's what turns words into weapons. And I call it turbulence of the soul. Turbulence. You know, when you think of turbulence, what is it? What is the first thing that comes to mind when you think of turbulence? What do you think of? What do you associate it with? Wind. You know what I associate it with? Airplanes. That's usually when I hear the word. The pilot, if you'll notice, the pilot has put on the fasten your seatbelt sign. We're anticipating some turbulence. So if everyone will return to your seat, and we're about to go through a little bit of turbulence. You know why? Man, doesn't it feel like that sometimes in your life? You're going along just fine, things were going so well, and then you hit a spot, and it just threw it. You said things. You did things. You broke your hand against the wall. What did you hit it? What was that going to help for? It can undo things so quickly. Man, we need to learn to overcome these things. I mean, there is just turbulence in life. And if you don't deal with it, and if you don't anticipate it, and you don't learn how to let the Holy Spirit guide you with the peace of Christ guarding your hearts and minds, it's going to take, it just, you can create messes that take quite a bit of time to fix, don't they? Yeah. I mean, it can, yes, God's merciful. Yes, God will forgive you. But you know, divorces happen because of it. Friends end all communication with each other because of it. Churches split because of it. If we don't learn to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us through these times and find the peace of Christ, you know, it says it's better. If you're wealthy and fighting all the times, quit your job. Find something peaceful. Live poor and happy. You know, it just, be careful. Don't let the strife of the world get in and ruin your life. So we have these parallels, all right? We can either be tranquil or turbulent. Internally, tranquil. You know, although it's hard to find something good on TV, and you have to be kind of careful what you enjoy and what you watch, I tend to like those programs where the guy, no matter how many, he's facing seven guys coming at him, and they've all got guns, he's got a knife, and he's so calm because he's got it figured out. He's going to take them all out, poor guys. They don't know it, but they're such at a disadvantage. I want to be that way spiritually. I just want to know that with Jesus Christ within me, He's going to guide me. It may hurt. I mean, He's not promised to keep everything easy for me, but He's promised He's going to walk with me and guide me through it. I just want that kind of confidence in life, because we tend to fear. I mean, fear and anticipation, and we get nervous. And that's when we start going off. When we react like that, you know, it's just not safe. We're just not safe for ourselves. I want to be calm. I don't want internal chaos. Here, you know, I've used this as an analogy. I could have found a picture, but you can see it. I can describe it to you. Let's say behind me, it's morning, it's still, there's no wind, there's this beautiful pond behind me. You hear that? Something just hit the water. I can turn around. Oh, it hit right there. Because, you know, I can see the rings. I can see it's calm. Now, the same day, the same pond, different day. Look around. Can I tell where it is? Could I see? No, because it's turbulent. You know, if life is turbulent for you all the time, you can't find peace. You don't even know where it's coming from. You live in turbulence. You begin to experience quietness of soul. And you'll begin to detect where the first signs of disturbance are. You'll pick them up early. You'll know what the enemy is trying to do. You learn. This is something pastors, Sunday school teachers, older believers are to help younger believers experience. There is a deep spiritual peace in Christ that we grow from. We grow into. It's not automatic, but it's something. And I just want you to know it's a promise out there for it. And what you know about heat, friction, you know, this is what we learned. What's happening on the atomic level when temperature rises? What's happening? Atoms are moving faster, right? Not slower, they're moving faster. So what do you think about when your mind starts to race? What's happening? Your thoughts start to race. Isn't it interesting? Something's bothering you. What's going to happen? What's going to happen to your pulse? It's going to increase. And the faster it goes, you see, the faster it moves, the greater the force. The greater the force, the harder to control. And the harder it is to control, the more likely there's going to be an accident. Loss of control. Be careful. Can you see why James chapter 1, why he gave this advice in James chapter 1? So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear. You want to be quick to hear, but slow to speak. How about that? Slow to speak, slow to wrath. You know what we call quick to wrath? Blowing up, right? Explosions are quick wrath. Bombs going off are quick wrath. And when your mind is racing and your emotions are racing, you're about to let a bomb out of your mouth. Don't. Let the peace of Christ guard your heart and your mind. Beware of the accelerated thoughts and emotions. That's why Paul, he was trying to say this. I don't have the scripture up here, but he was trying to say this to the Thessalonians. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet, tranquil life. Because when you are calm and collected and tranquil on the inside, you are far less dangerous to yourself or anyone else around you. You're safe. So what I want us to learn to do, and we plan to spend some time over the next few weeks talking about this, is we need to learn to get to the spiritual storm shelters, to run to Christ, to experience the help of the Holy Spirit, that when we begin to sense something is racing on the inside, we can learn how the peace of Christ will guard our hearts and minds and keep us safe. Safe for ourselves and safe for others. Because the wrath of man, that speed, that passion, that anger, that racing, that does not produce the righteousness of God. It may get you some relief, temporary relief. Because it may, you know, look, I used it. I could tell my children, stop it! It worked. I could have said, stop that. And train them. You know, if you train it, you know, you young parents, if you say, stop, Johnny. And you let Johnny keep doing it. Stop, Johnny. Johnny, he keeps saying, stop, Johnny. Johnny, I said stop. Okay, stop. What, you've trained him to wait to level 4. You've trained him, right? That's your fault. Stop, Johnny. Johnny, you're still doing it? Oh, come, Johnny. Let's come talk. Sit down, Johnny. Johnny, Daddy said stop. It's training. Look, train your soul. Speak to your soul like David did. David said, I spoke to my soul, said, be still, my soul. Ooh. Some of us need to take our soul to the woodshed. Take your emotion and take your mind to the woodshed and give it a good spanking. And teach it to obey the scripture. Teach it to listen to the Holy Spirit. The results will be good. We need to finish this up. We're coming to a conclusion. We love water, right? But better be careful around boiling water. Boiling water is water that's moving pretty fast. The molecules in that water are racing.
Wow.
Boiling water and boiling words both scald and leave scars.
Yes.
Man. If you're boiling, put a lid on it. Somehow let others know in your life, be careful, honey, I'm not safe right now. Right? Don't pick up the phone and go off on somebody. Be careful. Be careful. Don't boil over on other people and scar people in ways, okay? It's interesting. We become accustomed to levels of anger, to hot words and hot emotions. Babies are not that way. You remember what it was like when you tried to give a baby a bath and the water was just barely a little bit too warm? Man, they freak out. They're so sensitive. It's barely warm and they're jumpy. And now some of you ladies, you can't get it hot enough. You've trained your body to endure something that you come out like a tomato. And you love it. That's the kind of bath you love. Look, don't train yourself that way spiritually. Don't get used to things being so hot and so heavy that you just live with it. Develop a sensitivity. Develop a sensitivity where you want calm. You want control. You want a quiet spirit and a quiet mind. That's what you want. Don't get used to it. You know, just like water, air too fast is powerful. You know, air too fast. We've seen pictures of what it does. And we just need to learn that emotional and mental violence can be overcome. All right, let me make a distinction. What do I mean by violence? I'm talking about violent thoughts and violent emotions. Can I say something? The wrestling that you're experiencing when you're in that kind of violence is not yet sin. Don't feel condemned. You're under temptation. You're under attack. It's not sin to wrestle, to be struggling. Now and then, believe it or not, I know you may think this is strange, but now and then even I'm having internal conversations. I'm not going to say with any of you, of course. Never. And with my wife, rarely, because she's near perfect. So, but it does happen. That imaginary person out there I'm talking to. I don't catch it right off the bat at times. Sometimes I've gone on, several rounds, and it just hits me. What am I doing? I don't believe I've sinned. I believe I've been being drawn away. I believe I'm being tempted. And then, from my inner man, the Holy Spirit says, don't keep going down there or you will end up sinning. See, we're not going to have, that doesn't mean we're not going to battle things. We live in this world. Okay, just don't let those things overcome you. Okay? Just having wrestling with thoughts and emotions doesn't mean you're sinning. Again, you need to learn that. You just need to learn to not be careful and deal with it in the right way, okay? It can be overcome by the peace of God that surpasses understanding. What they prevent us from, what the peace of God guards us from against the violent reaction, giving in. It's wonderful when we overcome by faith and by the help of the Holy Spirit. And the only person that suffered from our struggle was us. Isn't that the way you want to do it? If I'm struggling, I would rather it only hurt me and not my wife and not my daughter or not my brother and sister in Christ. I'd rather find peace and resolve it there and grow in grace and learn from that wrestling than just not dealing with it well and actually hurting others around me. That's our goal. We're all going to have to wrestle this life. As long as we live, we're going to have to wrestle with these things. But at least, here's the difference. With the world, this kind of peace that I'm talking about is all circumstances. It's circumstantial. They can only experience this if the conditions they're in are easy and good and manageable. The kind of peace we're talking about is spiritual. It's internal. It is a peace that we can experience even when we are in difficult circumstances. That's the kind of peace that we want to demonstrate to the world. You know, if you're right now, if you're in a situation where you're in a difficult work environment, you have difficult co-workers to be with, or you have a difficult boss, or you're dealing with a difficult son or daughter, or you're dealing with difficult grandchildren. Okay, here's an opportunity to demonstrate you have internal help supporting you and guiding you in dealing with what you're dealing with. That they can tell that though you wear the same skin and you're just as human as they are, you don't react like they do. That's a testimony. That's how God uses the difficulty He allows us to be in to show Himself to the world. That His children have His help and we can respond differently. So, we're going to be talking about this to the next couple of weeks. This peace of Christ. It's our promised land here. Someday, we are going to go to heaven. Our Lord's going to return, and He is going to literally wipe out the evil in the world, all the things that cause sorrow and pain and grief and suffering. Okay, that's going to be wonderful. Then none of us will be tempted. Then none of us will have to wrestle anymore. That's good news. And I look forward to that. Oh, it's going to be so wonderful when I don't have to wrestle anymore. But until then, I want to live my life in the peace of Christ till that day comes. Okay? That's what we're going to be talking about. And we're going to be talking about some practical things about how you put to death some of those habits that we kind of, our old man learned, how we have kind of learned in the world to deal with difficulty. We're going to be talking about those more in detail. But for now, and let's just realize there is a level of spiritual peace that is so wonderful that like the writer of Hebrews says, there's a rest in Jesus Christ. And we should see to it that none of us are found not getting to experience that rest. Remember, the promised land was promised to all the children of Israel that were living in the land of Egypt, weren't they? That whole generation. And that whole generation went right up to the promised land, didn't they? But did that generation that came out of Egypt actually get to go into the promised land?
No.
No, they didn't. I don't want that to be the case with us. Let's make sure we enter the promised land. This peace of Christ. Okay, we'll do that together. All right? We're going to have a time of invitation. We do to give you a chance.